call the first time certain, item 1203.
Accept and appropriate an Oregon Parks and Recreation Grant Award to Portland Parks and Recreation in the amount of $1,500,000 for the Forest Park entrance.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm delighted to introduce this item. Forest Park, as many people know, is 5,200 acres. It's part of a larger 15,000-acre landscape called the Greater Forest Park Ecosystem, which provides important habitat connections to the Coast Range. Over 100 bird species and 50 different native mammals are found there. The park supports a multitude of people. 500,000 visitors recreate in the park every year, and the whole Portland metro area benefits from the ecosystem services it provides, like filtered air and water and offsets to our urban heat island and carbon emissions. But like the rest of Portland, it faces challenges as we develop, grow, and plan for a sustainable future. That's why today's conversation about a forest park entrance and nature center is so important. In 2015, City Council passed its legislative agenda establishing planning and development of the Forest Park Entrance and Nature Center as a priority. Thanks to the leadership of Representative Mitch Greenlick, who is joining us here today. Thank you so much, Representative Greenlick, and Speaker Tina Kotek. The Oregon Legislature committed $1.5 million through state lottery funds, and today we formally provide the mechanism to accept those funds. We do owe a huge thanks to Governor Brown, the state legislature, and in particular Representative Greenlick and his wife Harriet, who have supported this grant. I also want to thank the council. I do thank the council for identifying this as a priority 2 years ago, and it just goes to show the importance of having a legislative agenda and wonderful government relations people who help us to lobby for it, and it's an honour to be part of the whole system. The Forest Park Entrance and Nature Center is part of a larger long-term vision by Portland Parks and Recreation in partnership with our communities to meet the needs of Forest Park in a comprehensive, strategic manner. That initiative is called Renew Forest Park, and it will address the ecological infrastructure and accessibility needs of the park. I'm very happy to introduce the Director of Portland Parks and Recreation, Mike Abati, who will tell us more about this important work and the exciting developments ahead. And thanks also to Oregon Parks and Recreation, who has awarded Portland Parks and Recreation this grant award.
Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor, members of Council. Mike Abate, Director of Portland Parks and Recreation, and thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your great efforts in obtaining this grant. Just as a reminder, in 2005, and then in 2009, Council authorized the acquisition of property at the site we're here to discuss today for the development of a major access point to Forest Park. And in 2016, the Council approved the planning, design, and construction contract with Dangermond Keen for this project. So today we'll tell you a little bit about the vision for the site and how it connects to our broader vision for sustainable management of all 5,200 acres of Forest Park. 2 years ago, our Bureau announced an ambitious initiative we call Renew Forest Park. It's built on the foundation of the 1995 Natural Resources Management Plan, which remains a visionary document guiding the principles and projects we use to manage the park. In the past 20 years, we have progressed steadily and productively towards realizing the intent of the plan, the Natural Resources Management Plan. But there's always more work to be done. And as Portland continues to grow, Forest Park has become an even more popular attraction and absorbing even more human pressure than before. So invasive species are an ongoing challenge because of the park's proximity to industrial and residential properties and urban development. Infrastructure like bridges, culverts, and trails are over 50 years old, some of which require repairs, replacement, and have reached the end of their lives. And as the city embraces important priorities like equity and accessibility, we face challenges to make this incredible resource available to all. Some of Forest Park's most ardent champions have pressed our Bureau to make meaningful investments that address these issues head-on, and we agree. And that's why we developed the Renew Forest Park Initiative to embrace this incredible support and opportunity to reinvigorate the park, truly a legacy project. Renew Forest Park is an overarching campaign and strategy to make significant improvements to the park's ecology, to its infrastructure, to its recreation and access, and it's a platform for talking about this work holistically, intensifying our efforts and attracting new partners and new investments so this incredible resource is invested in not just by the city, but by regional, statewide, and private entities as well. Forest Park will be renewed. Its visitors and many native species who call Forest Park home will see and experience a park they haven't seen in over a century. So I'd like to introduce my colleagues, Kendra Peterson-Morgan and Lauren McGuire, who present on the three components of Renew Forest Park with a focus on the pivotal role played by the Entrance and Nature Center project. With that, Kendra.
Hi, I'm Kendra Peterson-Morgan. I'm a Natural Area Supervisor with Portland Parks and Recreation.
Morning.
And thank you so much for the opportunity to come and share about our restoration and infrastructure work in Forest Park. I'm proud to be a part of this work, and I'm excited to share the significant improvements that we're making. Restore Forest Park is a long-term invasive plant management plan. This restoration plan improves wildlife habitat, water quality, and forest structure through the control of invasive species. Ecosystem-altering weeds like ivy, clematis, and blackberry simplify forest structure and impact habitat quantity and quality. Ivy, of course, is the most prevalent, recognizable, and impactful invasive species in Forest Park, and left unchecked, it creates an impenetrable carpet in the forest understory, outcompeting existing native species and blocking new seedlings from establishing. It grows up trees, weakening their structural integrity, blocking out sunlight, and creating significant stress on the forest system. Basic ecology teaches us that diverse systems are more resilient, and ivy reduces that diversity. The restoration work that we are doing in Forest Park is no less than a transformation of the park's ecological health. We are shifting the ecological paradigm from a system impacted by ecosystem-altering weeds to a forest that is diverse, ecologically healthy, and better able to withstand the pressures of climate change. The City of Portland's Climate Action Plan identifies that the removal of invasive species is one of our best strategies in the face of climate change. Similar to the way that many healthcare systems encourage members to invest in preventative healthcare measures to maintain optimum health, the removal of invasive species reduces ecological stress on the system and allows these forests to function at their highest level, more able to withstand extreme weather fluctuations and drought associated with climate change. For years, we've been working in Forest Park to remove invasive species. Many of you in this room have been right there alongside of us, coming out and participating in ivy removal events. And yet, we still have lots of ivy in Forest Park. Why? Because prior to the work associated with Restore Forest Park, we did not have the resources to address this issue at a landscape scale. In the past, we've been effective at removing invasives on a few acres at a time. But to make significant change, we need to amplify that work across hundreds of acres. Due to visionary city leadership from our commissioner and director who support this work, engaged partners in the Forest Park Conservancy and Metro, and a supportive funding environment that wants to see more landscape-scale work, we have been able to increase our restoration efforts so that now almost 60% of the park is in active restoration. Mayor and council members, if you refer to your packet, you will see a map of our projects that looks like this. Due to some technical difficulties, it's double-sided, but it's the same map on both sides, so you can enjoy it from any angle. You'll see that the orange area is acreage that is half of the park that is enrolled in an existing program through parks called Protect the Best, and that program is based upon the concept that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So this very small, this is a three-member crew, but they are mighty crew. They go into the most remote acres of Forest Park, and they remove invasive species before they establish a stronghold. An additional, the rainbow color of projects that are listed there, are projects that we're hoping to accomplish over the next 10 to 15 years. We've initiated two of them, the Balch One project in the southern section of Forest Park and a project in the north called North Forest Park, and that has almost 500 acres in active restoration today. So we're really excited to share this information with you. I'm going to talk next about the second pillar of the Renew Initiative, which is Rebuild Forest Park. And that is a component that addresses failing infrastructure through repairs to culverts, bridges, and trails. Forest Park was dedicated as a park in 1948, and as Mike mentioned, much of the infrastructure is over 50 years old. So it simply met its useful life and is beginning to fail. The photo on the right above pictures the newly replaced bridge on the Lower McClay Trail, which was funded through the park's replacement bond that voters voted for in 2014. And during the 2017 construction season, we have been able to, with these funds, replace three bridges in Forest Park, two in the Balch Creek Canyon area, the Lower McClay Trail Bridge and the Wildwood Bridge, and then a third on the Maple Trail. These bridges, I don't know if you can see them in the photo above, but these bridges were designed to be iconic, to fit into the natural landscape, to be incredibly durable, low maintenance, and long-lasting, and they're also quite beautiful. In partnership with the Bureau of Environmental Services, Portland Parks and Recreation will replace three large culverts in 2018 on Leif Erickson Drive to ensure that this 11-mile road inside the park is open and accessible for emergency and maintenance access, which is so vital to Forest Park and the health of our citizens. The Renew Initiative has been designed to identify problems that need to be addressed and create new funding streams to make this work possible. Through this initiative, we are able to improve ecosystem health, infrastructure stability, and access to the park for all Portlanders. I am now going to pass the baton over to Lauren McGuire, Parks Development Program Manager, to talk about Reconnect Forest Park.
Good morning. Lauren McGuire, Development Program Manager for Portland Parks. As Kendra said, we're going to talk about Reconnect Forest Park, which is the third pillar of Renew Forest Park and our focus for today's presentation. The Forest Park Entrance and Nature Center project creates a recognizable gateway entry point for visitors to discover information about the park's rich ecology, to access Forest Park trails, and to provide opportunities to engage in stewardship and educational opportunities. The spirit of Reconnect is even broader, though. It's about improving access for all visitors to experience the park. Forest Park is a crown jewel in our system, and it lacks a recognizable entry point. It's often been said that Forest Park has 22 back doors and no front door. If you've experienced one of these back doors, you know that many of the entrances are down narrow streets, one-way streets with no parking. People park everywhere. In addition, there's no space or opportunity for public education about the park, park etiquette, or park ecology. Beyond park access issues, though, there's also the challenging of managing the park's growing popularity and its status as a regional destination. This entrance and nature center will be an important mechanism for addressing the increasing demands of the park and creating a touch point where we can educate users and cultivate good stewards. The groundwork, as Mike mentioned, for the center was laid in 1995 in the Natural Resource Management Plan. It identified the site that we're currently designing at Northwest Yan, Highway 30, and Kittredge as the entry property to provide rich and inviting visitor experience. The four-acre site is industrial property. It's north of downtown and just southeast of St. John's Bridge. And as Mike noted, it was purchased in 2005 and 2009. It's immediately adjacent to the park, but outside the park. So here's an image of our design concept for the site. It shows a recognizable front door to Forest Park. You can see the parking area on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side in the white is the area where the nature center would be, with the trail then going up to Leif Erickson on the top. The Forest Park Nature Center building will have interactive exhibits and informational educational information covering the natural and cultural history of Forest Park. The parking area will be someplace between 20 and 33 parking spots with bike parking, ADA parking, bus drop-off. And the next image is a rendering of what the Nature Center could look like with its educational display space inside and classroom facilities and library space, as well as offices. Other facilities that will be on site include a multi-use trail connection to Leif Erickson and Fire Lane 1 for pedestrians, bikers, and equestrian use, a fully accessible trail to introduce visitors to the diversity of Forest Park, a new information kiosk for orientation and wayfinding, an observation deck, plaza and amphitheater, restrooms, water fountain, bike access, and street improvements, as well as natural plantings. The project is in the early design phases, and we've just completed conceptual design. It represents a significant investment in our amazing natural resources in Forest Park, with an initial project cost estimate of $20 million over several years. The investment is important because Forest Park will create this nature center will, and entrance will create a timeless, versatile, easy-to-navigate place for visitors that fits with the aesthetic of Forest Park and creates a safe place to connect to and engage with the park, nature, and people through learning, recreation, play, and stewardship. This will help Forest Park absorb the increasing pressures as it experiences as the city continues to grow and attracts new visitors to the region. The Nature Center is an important mechanism for absorbing the visitation, buffering human impact, and educating the public about the park and cultivating tomorrow's stewards. Forest Park is for all Portlanders and all Oregonians. The public outreach has prioritized developing lasting relationships with folks who have never visited Forest Park before.
And Mayor and Council, in the interest of time, I'd like to introduce three invited guests to come testify: State Representative Mitch Greenlick, Renee Myers, Executive Director of Forest Park Conservancy, and Ted Labby, the Policy and Program Director for the Urban Green Spaces Institute, after which I'll have some concluding remarks.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Mr. Mayor.
It's great to see you. Thank you for being here, Representative.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Council, I'm State Representative Mitch Greenlick. I represent House District 33, which has a big piece of Forest Park.
I'm sorry, Representative, could you just pull the mic a little bit closer? Thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry to interrupt.
Here we go. I'll try and talk louder as well. Harriet says I need to talk louder. I'll try and do that. I'm very delighted to be here today. I'm serving my eighth term right now of House District 33, which represents a big chunk of Forest Park. And Forest Park preservation and helping the city plan for the next 100 years has been a part of my agenda since I first ran for the legislature in the year 2000. The Forest Park is an extraordinary place, and I think we live so close to it, we don't necessarily realize how extraordinary it was. Historically, the wonder of Forest Park was first noted by Captain Clark of the Lewis and Clark Expedition as he rowed a canoe up the Willamette River and noted the extraordinary forest on the west side of the river. The Olmsteads, who the city's park commission hired to plan the future in the of our park system, commented, and if you haven't read that, their report, it's quite an extraordinary historical report, commented on how Forest Park would be the crown jewel of a ring of parks around around the city. And their guide, we followed their guidance, and their prophecy clearly came true. The plan for the 20th century was started in that Olmsted report, I think of 1907. We're now working on our plan for the next 100 years of the park, and I think the work the Park Bureau has been doing has been quite extraordinary and quite challenging, and I'm very happy to have a piece of the action by bringing some state money and state support to the future of Forest Park. I believe the front door is an important place. I think it is important to have a front door to recognize how important this park is to the city and to expand its accessibility for disabled and for school kids and for visitors to the city in a way that is envisioned by the view that you just heard. So I'm delighted to be here to support the project. I want to commend you and the Bureau on the work that's been going on to plan for the next 100 years, which was very much on my mind. And I'll be around to do what I can to help the process go further.
Representative, I just wanted to comment that you alluded to the Olmsted Report. You know, the original Olmsted Report, a type document, is in the city's archives and from time to time is displayed. I have a copy, a facsimile copy, of the original. And one of the things that I love about that report is that given the limitations of technology at the time, all the edits and corrections to the original report are in pencil. But we have that document, and it was visionary. And the remarkable thing was, you know, over 100 years ago, someone saw the future. And we've just been filling in parts of that vision, but it was a remarkable document. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Representative Grelick, we would not have gotten the first money. I remember you saying it's the only allotment that you've ever asked for, and I'm really pleased to be able to partner with you ongoing to find where we're going to get the rest.
It was the first time I ever asked for money, and I was very delighted that I'm one for one. I'm trying to think of what's next.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Renee Myers. I'm the Executive Director for Forest Park Conservancy. The Forest Park Conservancy has the privilege to work side by side every day with the amazing dedicated staff at Portland Parks and Recreation to protect and restore Forest Park now and for future generations. The Forest Park Conservancy has been working to restore and advocate for resources for Forest Park since its inception in 1989. Our founders helped establish this place we know and love as Forest Park, and we carry that legacy and responsibility forward in the work we do every day. We are proud and committed to our partnership with Portland Parks and Recreation and fully support the Renew Initiative. For us, it's exciting to see such a strong commitment from the city to addressing the challenges in Forest Park, from invasive species to the park's infrastructure, and to helping create a more formal entrance and nature center. We are excited to be at the table helping to craft strategies to guide Renew, and we are thrilled to see the on-the-ground efforts of the large landscape-scale restoration that has taken place thus far through Restore, and we remain fully committed to helping raise funds to help support Restore in the future. As a main contributor to the maintenance and enhancement of the Forest Park Trail Network, we are very enthusiastic about the infrastructure improvements lined out and rebuild. The opportunity to create a nature center that educates, inspires, and informs visitors is an essential part of creating connection to Forest Park. As Portland continues to grow and the pressures on Forest Park inevitably increase, the nature center offers a unique opportunity to create the passionate stewards and advocates for tomorrow, ensuring that the park is a healthy and vital part of this place we call home. As Mike rightly stated, Forest Park doesn't have a front door. And one of the questions we get most from our organization is, how do I get to Forest Park? So the entrance and nature center will help people have a starting point to enter the park, but to also get important information about being good users and to inspire new folks to be passionate and committed stewards of Forest Park. This will help us ensure we can take care of Forest Park today and well into the future. So thank you for supporting this important work.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners, for the opportunity to speak to you about this. I just have some follow-up comments to Representative Grelick and Renee. I'm standing in today for Mike Houck, who couldn't be here. But my name is Ted Labbe. I'm Policy Program Director with the Urban Green Spaces Institute. And I just want to reiterate how excited I am about this project. And all of our partners that we've spoken to through the Intertwined Alliance are all very excited about it. So just to kind of add to that excitement, I grew up in Portland, and I grew up playing in Forest Park, and I really agree with what Representative Grelick said, that, you know, there's something about our intimacy with the park that makes for us sort of taking it for granted a little bit, and I know I take it for granted. But it's a place I go regularly to renew myself, and it's so important ecologically for the region. There's always been a strong need for that entry point and for means to engage a wider community with the park. And I think these three pillars of the proposal that are before you address those needs. This is a really great opportunity to connect the park with another part of the city that historically has not had that connection to the park. It's always been sort of more of a Northwest Portland thing. And I think with this new entrance, we're going to be able to activate North Portland's connections to the park, which is going to be very important with meeting your equity goals and whatnot. So this is really about getting youth off their screens and into the woods. And I think I've already said I'm very excited about it. It's the right project at the right place and at the right time, and it's the right approach. And, of course, it always comes up, how are we going to deal with long-term, stable O&M funds to maintain the park? Why are we investing in a capital project and not doing more in O&M? But I think that this project, the structure of this project, addresses some of the maintenance issues we have in the park. We have informal trails that are developing, and it's through creating a formal entrance like this that we manage that access in a really sustainable, thoughtful way. So this is going to help us long-term deal with some of those O&M challenges we have in the park. Finally, I want to state that, you know, the O&M challenge that we have is really a regional challenge, and we fully are very grateful for the city's involvement and continuing involvement with the development of a long-term funding strategy for creating that regional approach to O&M. So as we look forward to putting together a regional ask in the coming years to sustain our parks, and deal with the operations and maintenance challenges we have, we just ask your ongoing support for that. So thank you very much. That's
thank
all I
you.
Have.
Thanks, all three of you, for being here. Thanks, Representative. It's good to see you.
A couple questions to staff.
Oh, very good.
Oh, were you ready for questions, or did you have more to say?
Just one more thing, okay. Commissioner, if I might. Just as you've heard, this is an important step towards a future, a sustainable future of Forest Park. I want to also give a special shout-out to Representative Greenlick and also our Office of Government Relations, Elizabeth Edwards and her team, who have been absolutely critical. And so with that, I've asked formally that you accept the State of Oregon's $1.5 million grant for Forest Park entrance feasibility study and design, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So are there going to be restrooms in phase one?
Yes, yeah. There are.
Okay. And secondly, I raised this before. I think 22 to 33 parking spaces is severely underparked for what we're hoping this front door to be.
Right.
I mean, it's hard for me to imagine. I mean, it seems to me the word will get out very quickly to residents of North Portland. You can't park there. Yeah. So I'm just concerned, and I don't know if that was ever looked at. When I raised that concern a couple of years ago.
You did, Commissioner, good question. Yes, we did look at it. We've tried to absolutely max out the amount of parking that we could put on that site and still allow a school bus drop off and turn around. I will say that if we're successful with this project, we may need to look at other ways of getting to the site. One of the ways people might bike there, might walk there, might take transit there. And there are some adjacent parcels in the near area that we could also look at for additional parking if we were to be able to acquire. So.
Thanks.
Mike, I just have one question. The slide where you gave us a preview of what the building might look like, what architect are you working with?
So that was a really terrific local architecture firm, Steve Dangermond and his team, who you're seeing their final version, but they gave us three very wonderful alternatives that through the process were narrowed down to a building that I think is going to be timeless and sort of in keeping with the significance of Forest Park.
And how did you select that firm?
Well, it was a request for proposal. We got many local firms. I have to say this is not a big budget project for most architecture firms, but we were tremendously excited about the level of talent and interest. Some firms whose work is really featured all around the world proposed on this, so it was just an absolutely wonderful process.
Well, for what it's worth, I think it's a terrific-looking building.
Thank you, sir.
So thank you.
I have a question for the director and the city attorney. Is there any reason that we could not put an emergency clause on this ordinance?
I do not believe so.
It's accepting it, right?
Yes,
sir. It's no accepting objection. Money, so I'd rather speak.
Yeah, accepting money, we do that quickly.
Are you offering that amendment?
I just wanting a nod from the city attorney.
I don't think there's any amendment.
Thank you. So I move that we add an emergency
second.
Clause.
Call the roll on the amendment.
to add the emergency clause and the reason?
Because it's in the public interest to get $1.5 million as soon as possible.
Thank you. Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's adopted.
Excuse me.
Very good. Public testimony on this item.
One person, Joe Walsh.
Very good. 3 minutes. Name for the record. Testimony must be germane to the item being discussed. Mr. Walsh, come on up, sir.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Just for the record, again, I would like to say that I am here to push for the East Side getting more funding. I don't think we are on parity with the West Side. And here's another $1.5 million that you're going to spend on the West Side. I just saw some documents that say the East Side is about one-third of what the West Side is getting. That's not parity. It should be the other way around. East Side should be three times as much as the West Side because we have so much catching up to do. And you guys keep spending all this money over here, and it's my understanding that you all live over here. There is another part of the city called the East Side. They have no roads. Okay? And you're screwing around with parks. I like parks. You know, I come from a city that had Central Park, which is world famous. Parks are wonderful. People that have no roads, not so good. So again, and every time you spend this kind of money, you can depend on me coming before you and saying, hey man, East Side, that's what my battle cry will be. And we'll see about this election that's coming up if somebody from the East Side doesn't kick somebody's butt. And maybe then I won't have to come all the time and talk about the East Side. Because you don't seem to be very interested, or you would go above 82nd and see the mud and be ashamed.
Commissioner Fritz?
May I just address that? Ms. Walsh, I hope you'll join us tonight at 6 o'clock at David Douglas High School, where we'll be accepting the three master plans for parks in East Portland. As I gave you the information last time you spoke, I've dedicated over $50 million to East Portland, and I'm going to continue to do so. So I agree with you.
Commissioner Fish.
No, I was just going to – that was exactly what I was going to address, because I recently asked Commissioner Fritz in her office for a breakdown in – when you take the bond proceeds, the general fund contributions, including major maintenance under her rule that sets aside 50% of money that's unanticipated every budget process for major maintenance, systems development charges, grants, and other things, it's over $50 million. In fact, it's a historic commitment to equity in East Portland. And I'm talking about east of 82nd Street. So I think we need to do a better job getting that word out, because we are spending the bulk of our resources there right now playing catch-up. The groundwork was laid over many years in terms of buying land, and we bought land during the recession when it was more favorable prices. We did master plans with the community, and now Commissioner Fritz is and the Bureau is channeling a substantial amount of money to actually building out the parks. And I think anybody that questions her commitment to the East Side needs to look at the numbers. And frankly, there are some in our community who think we should go to a district form of government. And one of the things that I find interesting about that is that Commissioner Fritz lives in Southwest Portland, but as the leader of the Parks Bureau has been the historical figure delivering equity to outer East Portland. And she does that notwithstanding where she lives and the zip code. Which I think illustrates that in our form of government, she is free to take a citywide view. If she represented a district in Southwest, I think there might actually be more community pressure for her to spend those resources locally. Anyway, those numbers speak for themselves. They're historic. And I look forward tonight, Commissioner Fritz, out in David Douglas, for you to lay that case out for the public.
Thank you.
Good. And this is a good time for a plug. So the Portland City Council will be meeting tonight at 6 p.m. at David Douglas High School. That's 6 p.m., 1500 Southeast 130th Avenue. We'll be meeting in the cafeteria. There will be a panel of folks from the community expressing their perspectives and views of the community to the City Council. So it'll start off as a listening session to get into some of the economic development issues through Prosper Portland and then some parks issues as well. So we encourage everybody who would like to do so to attend. Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Well, thank you for the report that I mostly missed this morning. I apologize. But I'm excited about this project. And I would just like to mention that I am actually an East Side resident. And as I mentioned last week, if you go to the budget office website, you can access any number of fascinating budget maps where you can educate yourself about how we're spending our money. Because while we have historically underinvested in the East Side and there are clear inequities, we are really digging in to correct those inequities, and in some cases, spending more in East Portland, although we're seeing more growth in other parts of the city. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Parks, for your presentation. Thanks for the Conservancy to Representative Greenlick. This really is a community effort, and in fact, when we were lobbying the legislature, we made the point it's not just a Portland Metro gem. It's for the whole state of Oregon, and it does contribute significantly to people becoming amazed and enthralled with our wonderful city, as well as providing all those stormwater and air quality and other issues. So thanks to the neighbors who've been participating in this, to the community members, and to my colleagues for supporting it. Of course, the difficult part now is to find the $20 million to actually build it. But if you don't dream big, you're not going to be able to figure out how to get there. And so we will get there sooner or later, and I hope it's sooner. Aye.
Fish.
Great presentation. Pleased to support it. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you, Representative Greenlick, for your bringing home the bacon. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended.